Of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. Came to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my bro. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Gold singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. And bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. To victory beneath the cleansing blood.
James Stark, would you lead us? Amen. Thank you. Be seated. 491. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pain? So deeply torn, and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. He cares in my grief. When the blaze are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? Grief
I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh, yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it odd to Him? Does He see? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares.
All right, last one, 333. Is that right? 333.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Trust Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see.
Let's sing it one more time a cappella. Here we go.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see us, to reach out and trust Him, and say that we love Him. Open to see Jesus.
Man, I can't help singing that song without thinking of a Bible teacher. Who's the one? Is that John MacArthur? Is that the one that leads into his program? I don't know. It's on BBN. I used to hear it many, many years ago. I don't really listen to the radio too much nowadays, but it brings back a lot of memories in terms of that was one of the lead-in songs to a teaching time. So neat. God used that neat song. So, all right, we are in, well, we're not going to turn to the book of James, but we have been studying the book of James, and we are sticking on that part. Part of the reason why it's a curiosity in my own heart, I'd like to know everything that the Bible talks about the tongue. So this is just going through it. It's trying to identify all the words that address that subject. And it's just fascinating. So you read a verse, and obviously you might start with the word tongue. And then it connects the word tongue with mouth. And then another verse, you start looking on the word mouth, and it'll connect it with throat. And so you talk about throat, and you talk about deceit, or you talk about, you know, just all of a sudden, the words that are associated with that whole subject begin to start painting a whole picture, and you just start tracing it down, and so that you can come to a place. So anyway, not your intention is probably not to reduplicate this study at any point in your life, but you could, and that's kind of the idea of That's why we, in some ways, when we refer to theology, in some ways, it's an art and a science. It's a science in that it really is dealing with raw facts, raw material, and you ought to be able to do your own research and come to the same conclusion in that sense. But there's also an aspect that there's more to it as well. It's kind of an art that you're looking and asking. It's in the aspect, there's a dynamic aspect. It's not just an unbeliever can do this, but really has to take the Lord's Spirit to do that. So we've been dealing with the tongue, and I want to just kind of amplify how important our tongue is and how it is. It trips us up, and how in all things we offend all. And we sin in this regard. And so praying that the Lord would put a watch over our mouths and over the door of our lips. And seeing how important that is, we're just kind of going through that topic by topic. And I've come to the aspect here of lying itself. And that's the aspect. And so if you are looking for what are some synonyms for lying? It doesn't have to be biblical synonyms, just words that... Fibs, all right, there we go, that's a good one. Deceive, yep. Stretch the truth, yep, that's good. Tall tale, all right, yep. Check. Whopper, okay, yep, there's a good one. Good. And little one. I have come to the conclusion and studying just the aspect. I haven't finished it. I haven't tracked down every single last verse on it because I just kept coming to more to find another one. I'm like, oh, okay, this is another word the Bible uses. And so I traced that down. I'm at 18 pages of Bible verses, and I have reviewed all of those today, but I've narrowed it down to a page and a half. So you're only going to get the thumbnail sketch of it. And I don't think this really, I don't feel like I'm even doing justice to it all, so I may come back and revisit it. I don't know what the Lord will have us do in that regard. So we'll see how far we can get into that. But let me give you some words here. Dissemble, equivocate, falsifying, fibbing, misrepresenting, misstating, misspeaking, prevaricating, okay. Perjury, deceit, deceptive, guile, perfidious, lying, treacherous, untruthful, dishonest, unreliable, shifty, tricky, crafty. And we have, I actually have to add some false and falsehood. We can add a different aspect. But part of it is when we come to why does a language ever get so many different words for one idea? And the reality is when it's very common. You know, there's an element that, you know, they talk about the more you would deal with something, the more diverse your words and your language ultimately comes. And so I think just even the aspect that we have so many different words to describe this shows how prevalent lying is in our experience as human beings, one with another. When we come to the Bible, can you think of some stories or some people who are known for lying, or how a story may turn upon a lie? Aha, yes, he's called a deceiver, right? So he deceives his father to get a blessing. That's very good. Does he... What? Abraham, that's right. He tells a lie about his being... This is my sister. And it was really his wife, so it's good. What's interesting about the story of Jacob is there's a big part of Jacob lying to Isaac, but then Laban comes along and lies to Jacob. And it's very interesting just in the stories of how that works out, that you ultimately receive what you give. That's God's justice in the world. So if we tell lies, we're going to receive. People are going to lie to us. And that's a powerful aspect there. And it's interesting, there's actually a verse that it backs that up. It says, a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue, and a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. So God, part of his purpose, punishment for people who tell lies, is that I'm going to make sure that when you hear a lie, you're going to give ear and listen, like, and you'll be duped. And so it's very, very powerful incentive to say, oh, I don't want to be telling lies. It's going to come back. Okay, so that's a good one. Abraham's a great, that teaches us another lesson about lying, doesn't it? What's Abraham's lesson teach us about lying? We haven't told the whole story yet. Abraham lies. Read a little bit further in Genesis. Who else does some lying? His son Isaac does the same, tells the exact same lie. He goes down to Egypt and he says, oh, it's my sister. And he does the same thing. So if we tell lies, what's the truth from that? Abraham tells a lie, his son tells the same lie. Yeah. What we do is going to have an impact on our children. You know, why are people liars today? Because the generation before them were liars. And the generation before them were liars. It really is inherent to the wicked condition of men. We're going to kind of look at that. In fact, let's see here. Oh, yes, RU principle. That's bonus points for relating the scripture into RU. That's great. That's good. Anyone else? Any other stories that maybe think of lying as a pivotal point in them? Oh. Yes, they did. They lied to their dad. Ah, Potiphar. Yes, exactly. That's good. Aha, I was wondering when we might catch on that one. That at the very beginning, the very first sin comes through someone lying. And that's one of the chief characteristics of the devil, is that he is a liar. When we were, this may feel like we're going over some of this, but if it feels familiar to you, I'm glad, because we went over the 10th and the 9th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so we really did kind of try to present a holistic picture of truth versus lies. And we're going to kind of review a little bit of that again tonight. But good. These are great, great ones. I only have a couple more that I have written down here, but you have. Aha, yes, Ananias and Sapphira. Yes, that was a big deal. One of the very first public chastisements in the church was people in the church lying to make themselves look good in front of other people. So, boy, if that can happen in the first church, you think that can happen 2,000 years later? Oh. We don't want to lie. And that can happen so quickly, you know, and we'll talk about that in a moment, how we recognize. I think we'll get to it. Maybe we won't. I don't know. This is fun. Anyone else? Peter. Yes. Lying about Jesus. Wow, yes. I didn't put that one down. That's good. That one's pretty powerful. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And they set up men to be lying witnesses, false witnesses against Naboth. Oh, yes, yeah. Rahab sends the guards out another way. Now, that one's a little tricky one, because that gets us into the moral dilemma of, is there ever a time that you don't have to? And we kind of addressed that a little bit on that Sunday morning message, so I refer you back to that message. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's true. He did come in there and slander them to him so he could even get that thing put out. So, yeah, that's a big, you know, it's interesting. When you start to see it, oftentimes, you know, it's God's people are not persecuted a lot of times apart from some aspect of lying and deceit upon the people of God. So that's, think about the men lying about Daniel. And, you know, just what they said about him. Anyway, so it's good. One that I thought of was, remember the false prophet who lied to the true prophet that he had received a revelation from God and told him that he could come back to his house, and he gets him killed because he tricks him into obeying. And it's, I think that's one of the few places in the Bible where it specifically says, but he lied to him. And it puts it right there in the nerve. It's like, wow. And it's almost that story is so hard because you're like, what was the purpose? Why would he even lie to him? And there's a lot that goes into that story, not to get into it, but it is very much a perplexing place. And so, I mean, there's an element when you say, if we were just to sample the Bible all over the place, we were finding, and the prophets are preaching against it quite frequently. People are lying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's certainly walking in a lie. Yeah, absolutely. So this is good. I want us to see. Let's turn over to Psalm 58, verse 3. Psalm 58, verse 3. These things are not earth-shattering truths to us, but if I can, I guess let me pare down my goal tonight. If we can walk out of here feeling a little bit of more disgust for lying than we did when we walked in here, then we've accomplished the mission here. Psalm 58, verse 3. It says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb." Strange, that has the idea of, you know, they're already apart from God. From the very beginning, from the time that they are born, we are estranged, separated from God. And he shows this, he says, as soon as they go astray, as soon as they be born, how does it manifest itself? That they are separated from God. They don't have spiritual life from Him. We are all born in sin. Verse 3 says, speaking lies. And there's an element to which this particular verse hits me more so maybe than others, but I can give us several other verses to back this up. But that when God wants to say, I want to tell you how wicked you are, I mean, I want to paint with a black brush and I want to show you how despicable you are, he says, you lie. Now, me, I would say, just a little white lie, just a little fib. I didn't murder anybody. I haven't done all these other things. But God says, no, the lying down in the heart that says, there's something wicked in the heart that demonstrates itself in this cunning by which we do not speak the truth. You know, that is how I can identify the people who are not my own. And when Jesus comes onto the earth, he calls the Pharisees out and he says, you guys are liars. He says, I'm not a liar like you are in John chapter 8. Isaiah 63:8. I'll read this one to you. He says, for he said, surely they are my people. So he says, and this is the work of God in which he is getting Israel. Isaiah 63, that's at the end of Isaiah. This is the work of God that he's going to reconstitute Israel. He's going to do something wonderful to transform them and change them. He says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. You want to know the characteristic of the people of God, the children of God? They will not tell a lie. It's very powerful. But that God would highlight this truth as being a hallmark between light and darkness. It comes down to where our nature is revealed by our words. It's interesting what the heart behind this. I found a verse in Isaiah 16:6 that says, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. It is the heart of pride that gives forth lying speech. Most of the time when we're lying, we're trying to... We talked about boasting, or a lot of times we're trying to protect our own self-image. If they knew the truth about that situation, I mean, we just were absolutely dead honest about it. They would be like, they wouldn't have a wonderful, warm, fuzzy feeling towards me. It would probably, So we just kind of polish off the edges on that little situation there and omit a few key details and ding! All is well. We're okay. He says, it's pride that's at the heart that produces a heart that wants to lie. And so that's why God looks at that and says, I can't have it at all. I can't have liars. Three times in the list of Revelation 20, 21, and 22, the very last thing that he says on these lists that will not enter into God's kingdom are liars. And all the other ones we say, oh yeah, that's very terrible. I mean, these are thieves, and you know, these are, you know, effeminate, and these are, oh man, with horrible sins that we might call out. And yet liar seems like it sticks out like a sore thumb in our estimation, at least mine, that this is truly one of the smaller sins. And yet it is a sin that reveals our heart. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:22, a poor man is better than a liar. You would be better off to lose money and speak the truth than to try to lie a little bit, deceive a little bit, and make extra money. And yet that's many times what people are using their tongues, they're lying to. How many times do you get lied to in your life? A lot. And a lot of times it's from people who are trying to get a little bit of money out of you, right? That's just our normal experience. He says, it would be better for us to be dirt poor than to lie. That's how important it is to God. In fact, we find from the scripture that God just hates it. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. In fact, Psalm 101, this is a picture of David, the Davidic king, and he says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will have nothing to do with anyone who tells a lie. It's interesting. Proverbs 17:7 helps us to see God's perspective. He says, excellent speech becometh not a fool. So you got a fool over here, absolutely deject of wisdom and everything that's good, and yet his words are excellent. Those things don't work too well together. And he says, so much less do lying lips oppress. A prince, a man in authority, a man who should be someone who speaks the truth and has those excellent words, and he's speaking lies. He says, lies in the mouth of a ruler or a prince like that is so unbecoming, it's becoming of a fool. Fools lie. Wise men do not. In fact, it's interesting, he says, ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value. That's Job speaking in Job 13. Interesting analogy to picture a physician. A physician is supposed to help. And you go to a physician or something like this, and maybe their expertise is over here, and they're trying stuff, and it does absolutely no good. It's no benefit to you. He says, that's exactly what a lie is to someone else. A lie has no benefit. And so you just see, that's why it's compared. And I've got another verse, Psalm 52:3. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Evil and lying are placed as synonyms versus speaking faithfully to each other and that which is good. And so, very clearly, you know what? We ought to look at this and say, oh, is there any such thing as a little white lie? I think we should say no. Because that white lie is the realization that I am not walking with God. Because God does not lie. And I don't have to lie. I don't have to deceive with my words I'm trying to finish that sentence. What was I trying to say? I'll never be able to walk with God if I continue that kind of behavior. And That is a great burden. And so as I've read through these verses and everything, that's just the thing that really impacted me the most. That I'm going, saying, this is a bigger deal than I thought it was. May God help us to say, God, help me not to tell lies. Even the smallest one. You know when that lie pops in, you say, it comes out and you're listening to yourself say it. And you're like, that really wasn't quite the truth. That really wasn't the whole story. And then you're like, well, just let it go. That's one thing to misspeak. It's another thing when the Holy Spirit reminds us in the moment, says, that's not true. Speak the truth. Be honest and receive the blessing of God. May God help us to do that. All right, we'll see if we have some words. Here to receive them.